Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And to the fact that each day has enough trouble, I think we can all say a hearty amen. We don't need to worry about tomorrow, but we do. No matter how many Franklin Covey classes we've taken, no matter how good our smartphone is, no matter how much we have heard God's instruction on this, we still worry about tomorrow. Our problem goes deeper than our worries. We are made in the image of God, and we aren't content with that. We want to be God. We want to be in charge. We want to control what happens tomorrow. We want to know the future so that we can enjoy the present. Our problem stems from the heart. We are focused on making our own world perfect, or at least survivable. Our focus is on our to-do list. Our focus is on the unfinished tasks glaring at us when we wake up. Our focus is on obtaining peace by completing our lists. Jesus tells us to change our focus. He is telling us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. These things are our clothes, food, and drink. These will be taken care of by our Heavenly Father. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows our frame. He knows that our thoughts are consumed with our daily task of living. Christ tells us not to worry about all of that. It will be taken care of. All of these things will be added unto us. Ours is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Pharisees kept adding to the workload of God's people. They were constantly coming up with new things that the people had to do in order to be holy. Jesus is telling us to do less. We do too much. When we worry, we take on things that are not ours to take on. When we worry, we aren't resting in God's sovereignty. Our task is to rest in the Lord. Our task is to seek first the kingdom of God. And now, our task is to confess our sin of worry and our sin of seeking to control our own lives. Let us kneel together and confess corporately to God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for calling us together to minister to us. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts to hear what You have for us this day. Be with me and fill me with Your Spirit, and cause me to proclaim Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for the privilege of coming out here again. I don't get to see the saints from this church very often, bits and pieces, at the Oaks or family camp, stuff like that. So it's nice to come out here and see you all at least once a year. So my family's here with me this time, and we're up to 5 children now. We just had a baby girl a month ago. Her name's Alina. And it's always funny as we anticipate each of our children in how they will look when they arrive. The one response that people always give us when we have a child, well, 5 times now, is they always look at the child and agree that Certainly looks like a Metangelo. Not sure whether to take that as a compliment or what, but the other odd thing is all my children are born with a lot more hair than I have. But God's designed it this way, that our children look like us and they act like us. People can usually tell that our children belong to us. In the same way, when we are converted and become children of God, there is a change that takes place in our identity. People should be able to see that we belong to God. Our identity is in Christ. Our lives should show evidence of this. So the question is, how do we live each day? What words do we choose? How do we address people? How do we make the decisions that we make? How do we live our lives? What is behind our thoughts, our talk, our walk, and our actions? It is our identity. Our identity is what drives us. It is what shapes every decision that we make. It affects the thoughts that we think, the words that we speak, and the things that we do. What is our identity? We have several. There are assumed identities, such as we are all human beings. I assume that we don't have any animals or aliens in the room. We have identities as male and female. That's the big question when a woman is pregnant. Is it a boy or a girl? That fact begins to funnel down the options as to who we are. So we are human. We are either male or female. Well, what nationality are we? Where are we from? Are you a child or an adult? Are you educated? To what level? What do you do for a living? Are you single? Are you married? Do you have children? All of these things shape our identity. This passage from Galatians 2 is dealing with a fundamental identity that you and I share. This passage has to do with our identity in Christ. It assumes identity as human beings. Our identity as male or female doesn't matter in this passage. We are all sinners. The question is, are we sinners who are saved or sinners who are not saved? Are we children of God or children of the devil? If we are children of God, then we have an identity in Christ. This may seem like a small matter, and this may seem obvious. This may seem like something that doesn't help us much as we live out our lives from day to day. The fact is, our identity has everything to do with life and godliness here on earth. Yes, our identity in Christ has a future significance. It means that we will spend eternity with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it also has significance in how we live right now. This passage has everything to do with all of God's children, whether young, old, tall, short, skinny, fat, healthy, handicapped, strong, weak, and the list goes on. This passage is for the new believer, and we will see that this passage is important for the spiritually mature as well. This passage contains three parts. It deals with what happened to our former identity when it says that we have been crucified with Christ. Second, it deals with our new identity in Christ when it says that it is no longer we who live, but Christ that lives in us. And third, it deals with the hope that our new identity provides for all of life when it says that this life which we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God. But before we get to these three parts, it's helpful to understand the context of this short verse in Galatians. In the book of Galatians, Paul is dealing with Judaizers who have come into the Galatian church. They have made circumcision a requirement for salvation. The Galatians have given in to the false teachings of the Judaizers and have put aside the things that Paul previously taught them. In chapter 2, Paul talks about confronting Peter on an occasion when Peter gave in to fear and played the hypocrite. Peter knew that salvation was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. He knew that salvation was by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. In spite of all that, Peter gave in, and he feared the Jews that were present in Antioch. Previous to this occasion, Peter ate with Gentiles. But when certain Jews came in, Peter would no longer eat with them, as if to say they were unclean, as if to say they were not really children of God. Paul confronted Peter. And in this confrontation, Paul is not afraid to remind Peter of the basics of salvation in Jesus Christ. The first part of this verse is about the death of our former identity. We have been crucified with Christ. This is a loaded statement. The challenge is that we hear it so often that we become callous to the depth and the power of this profound truth. We have been crucified with Christ. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Obviously, we didn't all hang on the cross with Christ. We weren't even around when Christ died on the cross. Paul was not saying that he physically died with Christ on the cross. When he claimed to have been crucified with Christ, he was saying it in the spiritual sense. He says the following in his letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? When we were converted and we became a child of God, we were counted as crucified with Christ. We were once bound by our sinful nature, but then our old nature was put to death on the cross. And now we are no longer bound by sin. Now we are no longer known by our former identity." And a few verses later in Romans 6, verse 6, he says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." If we have been baptized, then we can say with Paul that I have been crucified with Christ. Who was Paul before his conversion? What was the former identity that was put to death? He talks about this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He says he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul's identity was wrapped up in his lineage, the law, and his accomplishments. He was of Israel, and he followed the law to a T. When he says that he was crucified with Christ, he is saying that his identity was nailed to the cross. His lineage, his accomplishments, and his abilities were all nailed to the cross and crucified with Christ. Before his conversion, he had thought that it was his obedience to the law that saved him. He thought that it was his dedication to the law that would make him a godly man. He thought that it was the law that gave him his identity. When he says, "I have been crucified with Christ," he is saying that he died to his old identity. He died to the law which once bound him. What is our identity wrapped up in? We say it is in Christ, and this is true. But how do we live? We are all guilty of living out a false identity at different times in our life. Is our identity wrapped up in our lineage? We are Americans. We are independent. We are free. And we do what we want because we can. It is our identity, wrapped up in this? Is it wrapped up in the clothes that we wear? The house that we live in? The car that we drive? The books that we read? How do we know what our identity is wrapped up in? The question is, what controls you? What is the drive and motivation behind the things that you think, say, and do? Examine yourself and be honest. If we search out our motivations, we end up finding out what identity we are living by. And it is critical to know our identity and to know where it is centered. Our identity is the things that determine how we live. We are enslaved to it. Is that identity Christ? If you're a child of God, then the answer is yes. The challenge is to remember that our identity is in Christ. We forget. We get distracted. We lust and we chase after other forms of identity. And we forget that ours is in Christ. When Christ was crucified, He wiped out the handwriting of requirements, which was contrary to us. That is the law which requires death if we do not follow it perfectly. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Spiritually, our old identity died with Christ. Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross with the possibility of saving us. He didn't go to the cross with the possibility that His death and resurrection might provide a way for us. He didn't go to the cross with the possibility that His death might be sufficient for us, even here in the 21st century. Jesus Christ took names to the cross. Our name was nailed on that cross. Our old man, our old identity as slaves to sin, was nailed to that cross. Christ took that old sin nature, our old identity, nailed it to the cross, and He did a victory dance over the former principalities and powers of this world. Our old identity was put to death in Christ. And yet, we still don't always live like this. Let's think of it this way. What comes to mind when you think of a drug addict? We think of someone who is completely enslaved to an evil chemical substance. What does it take for a person like this to change? It takes them getting to the end of their rope. It takes them giving up on their drugs as their purpose for living. They must change their identity and realize that they don't have to be a drug addict. Self-help groups that deal with drug addictions usually deal with identity first. Without Christ, changing our identity is like changing masks. It's still the same old sinful man with a new mask. This is why most secular drug rehabs don't work. They don't really deal with putting to death the old identity, the sinful nature. Only in Christ can we truly have our old man put to death. And like a drug addict, we can become addicted to sin. We can become addicted to chasing after the things that we want in this life. We can become addicted to building up our own kingdoms in place of God's. Like a drug addict, we can flog ourselves trying to break free from this old identity. The beautiful truth is this. As Christians, we are already free from our old identity. We have been crucified with Christ. Our old man is dead. We are no longer a slave to sin. We don't have to look for a new identity. We have a new one in Christ. We just need to be reminded of that identity from time to time. When Paul said that he had been crucified with Christ, he said it in response to Peter's actions. Peter allowed fear to get in the way of living out his identity in Christ. Peter was fearful of the Jews that were present. What would they say if they saw him eating with unclean Gentiles? He failed to remember the power in his identity with Christ. Paul was correcting Peter in this matter. He was reminding Peter of something that he already knew. He was reminding him that his identity was no longer in the law. He didn't need to prove himself to the Jews who were present. He didn't have to fear. He could have confidence in the truth that he was crucified with Christ. Being reminded again that we have been crucified with Christ is not futile. This isn't something that we need to hear once and move on. We need to be reminded of this truth over and over. Think about Peter. Peter was an apostle. He preached to thousands on the day of Pentecost. Yet he still needed to be confronted about living out his old identity. New believers need to be reminded of this truth. Mature believers need to be reminded of this truth. Pastors, elders, and deacons need to be reminded of this truth. The fact that we have been crucified with Christ never changes. But our consistency to remember that truth does. Remember, too, that we were crucified with Christ while we were still His enemies. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Paul says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." If God counted us as crucified with Christ while we were still His enemies, think of how much more we are accounted as alive in Christ now that we are no longer His enemies. And this brings us to the second part of the verse. This is a part about our new identity in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There has been a permanent change in our identity. We no longer live. Obviously, I am living because I'm up here preaching. And you are living, and now awake because the door slammed. And you are living because you're listening. We are not dead physically. Our old man has been crucified with Christ once and for all. So how do we live? Romans 6, 4 says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that it is Christ living in him. We have Christ living in us. I remember as a child hearing this and the thoughts that run through a young child's mind, right? Thought, wow, Christ must be really small to fit in my body. The good news is that this is a spiritual indwelling, not a physical. Please turn with me to John chapter 14. John 14, verses 15 through 20. And just as a little context, this is the Last Supper. The disciples are troubled by the things that Jesus is telling them. Jesus doesn't get impatient with them, but like teaching a child, He patiently explains to them what will happen after He leaves. John chapter 14, beginning with 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. Our identity was crucified and remains dead forever. Our new identity is in Jesus Christ. He lives and He reigns within us. We don't fully understand this. But I ask you, how many of us fully understand electricity? Even electrical engineers don't fully understand electricity. Electricity is a mystery. Does that prevent us from making use of it? There are few homes and buildings that are not connected to the electric grid. We all use electricity in some way most of the time. Our lack of knowledge and understanding doesn't prevent us from putting electricity to good use. Similarly, our lack of understanding how Christ dwells within us through the Holy Spirit doesn't change the reality of it. The reality is Jesus Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. Now, the fact that Christ lives in us should be obvious to others. It should permeate our being. Think of it this way. Have you ever tried to hold a conversation with a drunken man? It usually isn't very productive. What is our response to a drunken man who is saying things that he wouldn't normally say? We say that the alcohol is talking. What about the person on drugs? Do we take what he says or does seriously? We don't usually. We blame the drugs that are affecting his ability to talk, walk, or function properly. What about a person who has Christ dwelling within? Is there a difference? Can people say of us, it must be Christ talking? Can others look at our actions and give credit to the indwelling of Christ? The fact that Christ lives in us is far more potent than any alcohol. The power of Christ living in us has far more potential to alter our lives than any drug. The fact of Christ living in us doesn't change. Christ becomes our new identity. The question is, does our life show evidence of this new identity? If it doesn't, don't be defeated. Confess your sin of living out the wrong identity. Repent and turn from your old ways. Hear this word from God. Let the word sink deep into your heart and soul. Let God remind you again of who you are. Let Christ show you the stripes that healed you and the holes that hung him on the cross. Let the Holy Spirit comfort you and remind you of the blood and water that flowed from Christ and baptized you into the family. You are His. You have been crucified with Christ. You have been bought at a high price. Do not live as a slave to sin. You have a new identity in Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. We may doubt the reality that Jesus Christ lives in us. We forget. We lose sight as to why we were created. We lose sight of why Christ saved us. We lose sight as to why God doesn't just call us home and save us the agony of living in a sinful, fallen world. Why? Life isn't always easy. Life isn't always lived on the mountaintops. Life isn't always lived out by the wow factors in life. We may have an exciting testimony of how we came to Christ. We may have some exciting moments at youth camp. We may have some wonderful spiritual experiences and highs in our walk with God. But the Christian life isn't lived out day by day through spectacular experiences. We don't walk across magical stone steps that appear before us and keep us from falling in the murky waters below. Life is lived out in the mundane. Life is lived out wading, swimming, and sometimes sinking in the murky waters of life. God knows this. He made it this way. He wants our dependence upon Him. He wants us to hang on to our identity in Christ like our lives depend upon it. Because they do. Our whole existence, purpose, and calling are dependent upon this identity in Jesus Christ. God is a gracious God. He reminds us of our new identity in Christ. And there are three ways that I want to point out that He reminds us. The first is our baptism. We were baptized in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were given the family name. We are children of God. And we are to remember our baptism. And we are to remind one another of our baptisms. The second reminder is communion. We are reminded of who we are each week. Each time that we take communion, we are reminded that we are His children. Only God's children are invited to His table to partake together. And the third is through discipline. Has anyone ever done wrong? Have you been disciplined by God? Hebrews 12 talks about how our identity as sons is evidenced through discipline by our Heavenly Father. Kids, do your parents spank you when you do wrong? Do they discipline you when you sin? This is a sign of love and a reminder of who your parents are and who you are. You are their children and no one else's. Likewise, God disciplines us. He reminds us of who He is and who we are. We are His sons and His daughters. This is yet another reminder of our identity in Christ. And this brings us to the third part of the verse, which is the hope that our new identity provides for all of life. It says, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul starts by telling us what happened to our former identity. We have been crucified with Christ. Paul goes on to explain our new identity. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Based on these truths, he tells us how we are to live. He gives us the hope that our new identity provides for life. How do we live out this truth? We live it out through faith. We don't live out our identity in Christ by reverting back to the old man. We don't live out our identity in Christ by trusting in our accomplishments. We don't live out our identity in Christ through our dependence upon our church doctrine, our pastor, or books. Our identity is in Christ, and it is lived out through faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith doesn't alter truth. Truth is constant, but faith changes how we respond to that truth. For example, I have faith in the ability of my van to come to a stop when I press on the brakes. My faith in those brakes doesn't make them work any better or any worse. My faith in those brakes caused me to live out what I believe. I believe those brakes will stop my van, so I press on them when I need to stop. Our faith in the Son of God does not make Christ love us any more than He already does. Our faith in Jesus Christ is not what made Him willingly die for us. Our faith in Christ does not make our identity in Him any more sure than it already is. Our faith in Christ aligns our heart, our mind, and our soul with the surety and truth that our identity is found in Christ. Our faith in Christ aligns us with the truth that there is power in that identity. We have been given power for living out a godly life to the glory and praise of God. Therefore, we can be done living a life of timidity. We can be done living a life dependent upon our former identity of slave to sin. We can be done living a life where the enemy tells us that we are not worthy. Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is Christ. We are His, and His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We wonder what will happen with health care. We worry and fret as we see the loss of a government of the people and for the people. We watch our children chase after sin, and we wonder what has happened to the promises of God. We get caught up in the tragedies that take place in our lives, and we forget who we are. Remember, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to the culture that we live in. We are no longer slaves to the fears that we face in our lives. Christ came that we might be free. Christ came that we might spend eternity with Him. But Christ also came that we might live a life of godliness right here and now. And it begins with recognizing who we are in Christ. We no longer have to depend upon our old man, our old self. We no longer have to be our own Messiah. We no longer have to depend on self to save our children, our culture, or our government. We have a new identity. Christ lives in us. This is an identity that we can depend upon. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have the courage to live out our identity in Christ. We no longer live based on sin and death, but we live by the power and grace of Jesus Christ. Through faith, God has called us to live out our identity. He has given us the grace and the power to do this. The beauty of it is, we don't just have redemption and salvation. We have a living Redeemer. We have a living Savior. Our identity is not in the dead, but in the living. Jesus Christ lives and reigns in us and over all creation. Our life is no longer limited to our capabilities. Our life and ability to live is open to supreme power and possibilities through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have indeed given us a new identity in Christ. Lord, I pray that You would cause us to live out that identity throughout this week and throughout our lives, and that what we know and that what You have told us and what You have done in our lives would be lived out in how we speak and what we do and what we think. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.